Well, good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here and look into your faces, people I've known for quite some time. For a message from God's Word, you may open your Bibles to Joshua, chapter 2. Some aspects of warfare doesn't change in Bible times and also in modern times. Spying on the enemy is utilized in many ways, and spy stories are filled with drama and suspense. And we have a well-known spy story here in Joshua chapter 2. Life is full of choices. Sometimes we have an opportunity to make a choice again, and there's other times where we have one choice. And if we don't make the right choice, it's forever gone. We don't have another opportunity. As we read this old spy story here in Joshua 2, I'd like us that we would think about Rahab's choices. And we'll endeavor to pull a message from this chapter in Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, and whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did we there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, and let the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, and his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days. until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Josephus, the Jewish historian, and some other Bible commentators suggest that Rahab was an innkeeper. For the word prostitute can be translated innkeeper. However, in Hebrews 11:31 and also in James chapter 2:25, we'll read that later. Rahab is clearly referred to as a prostitute. So there's a lot of Bible scholars, I think I'd be the opinion that she was probably both. She was probably an innkeeper and also a prostitute. Just a little background on this chapter. We'd like to look up at three choices that Rahab made here. First of all, we see that she turned from the world. This young lady, she was young. She was 20 years old, and she was living in Jericho on the wall. It was Jericho had a Canaanite religion. It was a polytheistic religion where they had many, many gods. You can study that. Dozens and dozens of gods. There was human sacrifice. They were very wicked. And God said Jericho must be utterly destroyed. It needs to just be completely destroyed. Now think about Rahab. She was not necessarily a good person. She was doing her part to add to the depravity of Jericho. But there was a very, very special day that she made a choice. And that choice was to turn from it. I don't know if it was a Monday or a Wednesday or Friday or Sunday, but there was a day that she made a choice to turn from Jericho, from the world. It was a risky decision that she made because it could have easily cost her life. She was making a choice to betray her city to the spies. And you think about that choice, it was a huge choice. It makes one wonder what the background of that was and how God had been working in her life to come to that she made a choice to turn from the world. Secondly, another choice that Rahab made was she embraced faith in God. And we notice that in verse 8. She came up to them, unto them upon the roof. That last phrase in verse 8. Think about it. That Rahab climbed those steps to talk to those men. And she climbed those steps with a purpose. It was a very important climb up those steps. And really what it was to give a confession of faith statement on the roof of her house. And we notice those words. Beautiful words. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and the earth beneath. That was a confession of faith in the true God. Think about it. A 20-year-old heathen girl embracing faith in the one true God, Yahweh. It was a full embrace. It was not some type of half-hearted embrace, but it was a complete embrace in faith in the God of Israel. Thirdly, another choice of hers was Rahab accepted the roles. You know, she had a very a very special request in verse 13, that ye will save alive. Your people want to live. We're cut from the same thing she was. We want to be alive. We want to live. We're just like her. We want to live. Rahab did not want to die. And she goes on to say later in the end of verse 13, deliver our lives from death. And what happened is the spies struck a deal with her. And they gave three specific instructions to Rahab. That is to take the scarlet robe and tie it to the window. Secondly, was that she should bring her family there. That was her request. She can do that. Bring her family into the house and keep them there. And she had to make sure that no one left the house. This was a safe house. It was, if they would stay in the house, it would be safe. It would be well for them. It was a house of safety. And that they would not go back on the street. If they went back on the street, they would be out of safety and protection. And the third rule was that she must not betray the two spies, but that rather she would protect them. And if she broke, they were clear that if she broke her commitment to them, then she would die. Those were her three choices. In James chapter 2, 25, likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? You know, Rahab had some big choices to make. And I don't know how long she knew that these choices were coming, but she made these choices and she passed the test. And that was turn from the world, embrace faith in God, and accept the rules to be saved. And I think that is so relevant to us today, that we would turn from the world, that we would have a true living faith in God, and that we would accept the rules to be saved. I think we're facing about some of the same tests that she faced on that day. And we'll turn those three things to us this evening. Are you turning from the world, first of all? The first question. Are you turning from the world? 1 John, familiar verses in 1 John chapter 2, 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, it's a tough assignment for us to turn from the world. It's human nature to look again instead of turn away. God is saying, turn from the world. Don't love the world. We think of Lot's wife. She wasn't to turn back, and I don't know how long she held on. Maybe 15 minutes, maybe a half hour, but finally, she turned. She turned. And I believe it's because there was some love in her heart for the world. And what a challenge to us. Rahab turned from the familiar, which was evil and corruption. She turned from sin to the living God. And today we call that repentance. We turn from God, and we turn from sin. You know, if we're right with God this evening, then something that we're familiar with is repentance, and that is we turn from sin. God reveals sin to us. Sometimes it's just neglect what we aren't doing, sins of omission, and we repent. Yes, that's how we get right with God, but it's how we stay right with God, and that is forsaking sin and turning to God. One of the problems today with many Christians is is they can hardly call anything worldly. And the question is, are you turning from the world? Am I turning from the world? Well, if we can hardly call anything worldly, then there's very little to turn from. And where that leads is people that are very almost the same as the world. There's very little difference because they have not chosen to turn from the world. Are we turning regularly from the world? Or are we regularly making missed calls, calling it godly when it's worldly? You know, we're faced with a lot of issues. There's issues on our phones. There's apps. There's Snapchat. There's Instagram. There's Facebook. I'm familiar with them enough and looked at them that, you know what? I've concluded they're worldly. And we need to continue to call out the world. Snapchat, the stories, some of these things, we just need to call it worldly and make a stand against the world. The Christian church called out theater 100 years ago. I think all Christians would agree that, the theater in town is something we shouldn't go to. But, you know, things have changed so much that we can have a theater right in our pocket. And we need to see it as worldly. The entertainment, there's just so many things that are convenient, whether it's the bowling alleys, whether it's, you don't have a Hershey Park in your area. I'm not sure what for parks are by. I'm sure there's stuff down here, southern Missouri, but there's Topgolf. There's so many things that Christians can get involved in, and soon it's like, where shouldn't we go? If we can go to the bowling alley and we can, well, finally, what's really even wrong with the theater if you pick a good movie? After a while, everything gets a little hazy. But it starts with calling the world out. And I'm concerned about this. If we do not call out the world, eventually what we'll do is we'll want to help make these places better. And a little while ago, I was told about an old friend in youth that she's running for the mayor of Lebanon. I was like, how can this be? But, you know, that's what happens when you don't call out the world. After a while, you say, we're going to make this world a better place. And that's, I'm afraid, how that happens. My encouragement is that we gain conviction. And it's okay to say, you know what? We aren't going to do it because it's worldly. Someone had told me about a truck with wide tires. My fellas, you probably like them. You see them go down the road, wide tires. They're sticking way out. Now, what about putting some underlights on? Well, that'd make it really nice too yet. Put some underlights on, catches everybody's attention. And I can see how that appeals to young fellas. Maybe middle-aged fellas, I don't know. There's a sense it appeals to me. I had a neighbor fellow over, he had some underlights on. And you know what? I'm thinking, what does the world think? I think they're disappointed with us. And I think we need to call it out and say, you know what? This is worldly. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do this. Well, moving on to the second point is, are you embracing faith in God? You know, Rahab believed the testimony about God. She could have doubted everything. She could have said, well, this won't happen. This just won't happen. I don't think it'll happen. You know, our walls are strong. We have a huge wall here. We can, you know, run three chariots abreast on it. It's wide. It's tall. It's strong. I don't think the Israelites are going to get through this. But you know what? She believed that the Hebrew God was real. He was the only God. And that she believed that God would bless the Israelites with victory. And that speaks of tremendous faith. She's listed in the Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Faith. You see, her sight and her feelings would have given her other thoughts than that. She said, I just feel like I think I'll be safe when I look at everything. And that's the question for us is, how's your faith doing in the midst of what you see and what you feel? Maybe your life doesn't make sense. Maybe your life has been so full of disappointment and so full of your dreams just are not taking place. And it seems like you're having back sets one after another. Do you have a faith in God, that God has a plan for your life? He's going to make a way. He's not going to forsake you. It's incredible that Rahab came out where she was. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. How's your faith doing? That's one of the big challenges I received when I, a few weeks ago, went down to Mississippi to clean up. And yeah, you have been involved in cleanup too, I'm sure, here at different times in Missouri. But going into homeowners and hearing various times their degree of faith that God has a reason for it. Talked to one man, he laid beside his bed and he has sent his wife and grandchildren on their way, and he heard it coming. He laid beside his bed, and you know that trailer, the frame of that trailer ended out over on the road, and all his belongings was scattered just all over the yard. I mean, it was just debris everywhere. And we helped him. Some of the boys, you know, found he wanted some pills, but he was laying near where the trailer was. And we heard different stories of, just such chaos, and their homes were just completely destroyed, and it's a house that we tore down, and that they had faith that, you know what, God has a reason for it. We don't understand it, but God has a reason for it. Moving on, thirdly and lastly, is, are you keeping the rules? Rahab needed to keep some rules to be saved. That's right. She needed to keep some rules to be saved. It was not a faith only. It was not like, you just have faith and it'll all work out. God wants to save us just like Rahab. And we believe this evening in conditional salvation. It's not faith only, neither is it rules only. God will do what we can't do, but God also expects something from us. Rahab, I'm confident, changed her sign to no vacancy. She got out of the prostitute business. She went out of business to identify with God's people. There's numerous rules that we need to keep to stay saved. We'll just touch a couple of them. One of them is the rule of sound doctrine. There's been a recent surge in this idea that hell isn't for eternal. It's not eternal punishment. There's some of that has gained traction in even conservative circles. And there's some of this thought of faith healing again, that if you have enough of faith, your problems will be fixed. That's not true. Even Paul made a number of appeals for his thorn in the flesh, and he did mention it, that it was a messenger of Satan. So I'm not sure where some of these thorns all come from, if Satan is involved in them some of the time, maybe. But moving on, another rule is relationships. I'm impressed with Rahab that she said, I want my family here. I want my father and mother and brothers and sisters. And, you know, I think they've filled the house with family. And that's another rule for us, is our relationships need to be characterized with love. That's a sign of a Christian. His relationships are characterized by love. You know, notice that she had a love. She wanted her father and mother saved. And we as we think about relationships tonight, we should be able to think back and, oh, we have good relationships, good marriages, good that we're putting our best foot forward. And yeah, relationships, there's always that room of improvement. But I'm encouraged with when I hear of good relationships. I learned to know a brother from Blue Ridge in our trip down there, a middle-aged married man. Anyway, during the night, he told me how he called his brother that was trucking. And they spoke for a couple hours on the phone while he was heading to Mississippi and his brother was on a truck somewhere. I thought, you know what? That tells me he has a good relationship with his brother. Praise the Lord. That they could talk on the phone for a couple of hours. Marriages should be good. They really need to be. The third, thinking about some rules, we said sound doctrine, relationships. The last one I have is decrees. The decrees are more than just a few dress items. We have the 18 articles of faith in there. And that's really important. There is positions of non-resistance. Coming here, I sat beside a man that at one point I asked him if he's a man of faith. Yes, he was a Methodist. But, you know, he's been in the Army for 30 years. He's probably, I don't think he was 50 yet. He was in his 40s. And very much involved in part of a $1.5 billion tech company, and they do work on defense contracts, and he's also active as a reserve, and he needed to be back on Monday because of a company that he got promoted as one of the leaders of a pretty elite Army company, and he was going to need to be back in D.C. I asked him at one point how he connects this to being a Christian. And he had an answer for me that was that I've heard before. It said about if you meet a bad man in a tunnel and yeah, what you're gonna do, hopefully, you know, he'll be scared of you, but if not, yeah, it's gonna get violent. And he had justification for that. But that goes back to how you read this Bible. You know, I was thinking of this just a bit ago. Well, he'd probably like this story tonight. I see it would fit right in. He's a warrior himself. But if you come out that this Bible is a flat Bible, you will be in the Army. That's how that, but we believe the difference of Old Testament and New Testament. It's just one part. But again, I ask that question. Are we obeying the rules? Are they something that we just think, a lot of them are kind of dumb, kind of unnecessary? You know, Rahab could have said, I don't know what to eat. I mean, some things you say, can eat this, can't eat this, got to wear this. All the men need to go about and wear some strip of blue in the bottom. You know, you had things like that. But I don't think she did that. I don't think she did. You know, we have rules in music. We have rules in appearance. And I think sometimes our rules are just getting kind of squishy where, well, it's just somebody's idea. There's a rule that We have in our decrees, since we changed it, the traditional look of lighter shirt and darker trousers is to be honored in all dress and casual wear. And there'd be more things that, yeah, they are not necessarily right or wrong, but it's a decision. It's a little like I noticed Chick-fil-A. If you look at Chick-fil-A, all their employees wear black shoes. And if you see any night symbol on them, you tell me about it, because you won't see it, because they have a rule. And if you go online and look, it'll say that shoes must be solid black. And it also say team members are required to wear black socks. And that's why you see it at Chick-fil-A. They have standards. And I see that some restaurants I get in, they have standards. And why? They have their reasons, I'm sure. So another question is, am I keeping the trends or am I keeping the decrees? It's interesting how trends come and go. And of course, there's probably trends in East that aren't here. And you probably have trends that maybe, hopefully we don't have. I don't know. But I remember 10 years ago, of course, I had girls and we'd talk about hair. And this hair over the ears, that was kind of weird, you know, kind of dumb. You know, it's just the 40-year-old ladies would kind of bring their hair over the ears like my wife has done ever since I've known her. But you know, that has changed, would you believe it or not? We have quite a few girls with hair over the ears, to the point that at some point we're going to have to say, well, your hair is, I don't see your ear anymore, you know? But that's a trend. So the trends come and go. And we have tried to be gracious with some of these things. We aren't saying that your hair has to be over your ears or has to be, give you some workability there. But when it's always shifting back and forth, it would speak of some unrest, would it not? Well, I give that for encouragement. More could be shared. In conclusion, let's never tire of making the choice to turn from the world. And that's something maybe we should think more about. What are some areas that I could turn from the world? And also, let's not tire of embracing faith in God, no matter where we are in life. I know from experience that life will give you some hard things, some hard knocks. Young people, beware of that. And it will be a test of our faith that God is good, God has a plan, and God really does care for us, even though the things that are happening, you may wonder. And then, thirdly, is keep the rules. Remember, if she had not kept the rules, she wouldn't have been saved. And I don't know where that line is, but where you're not keeping the rules, and you just won't be saved. My seatmate said he's a Christian, but we are so far apart. I just sat there and quiet. I have his card. I'll pray for him. I have his business card. But we're so far apart. And yeah, so we do need to keep rules. We need to keep God's word to be saved. Think about Rahab. She went on to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And that is in a whole, there could be another whole message on some of the blessings of these choices. She went on, and her name's in the New Testament as part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. She was a former prostitute of Jericho, and she responded and made some choices one day, and then she became in the lineage of Jesus, and her name is in the faith chapter. That is incredible. But think about it, that this evening we too can be part of Jesus Christ's family. We can be part of the tree, not the one up front, but the one on behind. That if we are a true follower of Jesus, we can be a brother, a sister of Jesus Christ. We can be part of his church. And that's just amazing, is it not? God bless you.